Welcome to our Bible study on the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. As always, I am assuming you have read the passage, that you have your Bible open before you, and that you understand our translations may not always agree. I also want to invite you to come join us for an in-person Bible study in the Fellowship Hall at the church on Wednesday from 5:15 until 6 p.m. This will be a short study. I'll try to make it up next week with a longer study. Our passage consists of two statements by Jesus in verses 1 through 5 that serve as an introduction and commentary on a parable Jesus then tells about a barren fig tree in verses 6 through 9. Jesus uses the sayings about the two calamities and the parable to make the same point. Repent now, for the time is short. In fact, Jesus has been talking about warnings and lessons about the coming judgment since chapter 12, verse 1. In our passage, verse 1 sets the stage for verses 1 through 5 and reports that some people reported about an incident in which Pilate slaughtered a group of Galileans, with the result that their blood mingled with that of sacrifices in the temple. While there is no other ancient source that reports this particular incident, there are many accounts of Pilate's confrontations with the Jews that confirm such bloodshed was not uncommon. For example, Josephus in the Antiquities of the Jews reports about Pilate's troops killing a group of Samaritans climbing Mount Gerizim, about Pilate introducing Roman statues in Jerusalem, in other words, pagan symbols in a religious setting, that caused a riot and a march on Caesarea, and how Pilate had seized the temple treasury funds for the building of one of his projects. Clearly, Pilate had no qualms about killing and disrespecting Jews. Just as with the report of Pilate's slaughter of the Galileans in the temple, there is no other ancient source that reports the collapse of the Tower of Siloam. The Pool of Siloam lay in the southern part of Jerusalem, and presumably a tower in the city wall fell, killing 18 people. If the deaths of the Galileans was an atrocity, an act of political violence, then the deaths of the 18 killed by the fall of the tower was sheer caprice, the whim of fate. We can imagine that the people were looking for a satisfying explanation. Those killed were sacrificing at the temple in obedience to the biblical command. Were those people who were slaughtered bad in some way? Was Pilate's outrageous killing a punishment because those worshipers were evil or hypocritical? Were those killed by the fall of the tower horrible sinners? Jesus' answer to such questions is no. Jesus does not give any explanation, but he rejects the false idea that the killing was God's punishment for their sin. As we read in the Bible, for example, in Job chapter 4, verse 7, and in John chapter 9, verse 2, and as we still hear today, there is a notion that sin is the cause of calamity. The idea is that if God is responsible for everything that happens, and God is a just God, then calamities must be the result of human sinfulness. Of course, the fallacy of such logic is that God is the immediate cause of all events. Jesus exposes the fallacy of such reasoning, while at the same time driving home the point that life is uncertain, death can be capricious, and judgment is inevitable. Jesus is pointing out that neither tragedy was an act of God punishing people for their sins, nor are any other tragedies and calamities. There are no explanations for such tragedies. Jesus uses the tragedies as illustrations that we live in a world in which we are not in control, that we should avoid creating explanations for the evils of life as punishment, and understand them as reminders of the fragility of life. Anyone, relatively good or evil, could find themselves before the final judge without any advanced warning. Jesus is calling for repentance, meaning we should bear good fruit, as he illustrates in the next parable. In verses 6 through 9, we get the parable of the fig tree. In Palestine, vineyards contained fruit trees as well as vines, which is why some translations may say garden. Land was precious, so an unfruitful tree could not be allowed to use resources that could nourish a fruitful one, hence why the man orders the gardener to cut it down. The tree exists to bear fruit. Just as God is interested in lives that produce deeds of justice and compassion. John the Baptist had warned back in chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, that even now the axe is laid at the root. But the gardener intercedes, offering to dig around it and fertilize it. Then, if it did not bear fruit in another year, he would cut it down. Jesus' call for the people to repent is not a summons for a general feeling of remorse about their bad lives, but a call to discern the time in which they live, when they are confronted by the reality of God's kingdom. The point is, the time is short. We have one last chance to put things right before the judgment. Now, some people will take this parable and make it an allegory. In such an interpretation, the fig tree represents Israel, the owner is God, the gardener is Jesus, and the 3 years refers to the time of Jesus' ministry. But in Luke, as in Matthew and Mark, a sound argument can be made that Jesus' ministry only lasts 1 year. And while in an allegory there can be many points of identification, parables typically only have one teaching point, and Jesus' point has been repent. The parable offers a balance about the warnings of judgment with promises of mercy. Just as John the Baptist had laid out his warning that even now the axe was laid to the root of the tree, Jesus declares at the start of his ministry in Luke chapter 4, verse 19, the year of the Lord's favor. A year of forgiveness, restoration, and second chances. Jesus' call to repent is a call to embrace our opportunities. Thank you very much for listening. Take care and God bless.